Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, a readjustment of our global military presence to address urgent threats in our hemisphere. We have got that story, plus streaming wars killed the theater star. But first, big story out of Australia. Millions of children and teens lose access to what I'm calling their digital whoopee, but it's the under-16 social media ban. Grabbing this from The Guardian. Australia has enacted a world-first ban on social media for users aged under 16, causing millions of children and teenagers to lose access to their accounts. Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X, YouTube, Snapchat, Reddit, Kick, Twitch, and TikTok. Not Kick. Are expected to have taken steps Wednesday to remove accounts held by users under 16 in Australia and prevent those teens from registering new accounts. There have been some teething problems with the ban's implementation. Guardian Australia received several reports of those under 16 passing the facial age assurance tests, but the government has flagged it as not expecting the ban would be perfect from day one. All listed platforms, apart from the greatest one, the artist formerly known as Twitter, confirmed they would comply with the ban. E-Safety Commissioner Julie Inman Grant said it had recently had a conversation with X about how it would comply, but the company had not communicated that policy to, you know, the users. Blue Sky, the big Democrat X alternative, announced it would also ban under-16s despite E-Safety assessing the platform as low risk due to not many people are on that thing. Children had spent the past few weeks undertaking age assurance checks, swapping phone numbers, and preparing for their accounts to be activated. Don't forget me over summer. Parents of the children affected by the ban shared a spectrum of views on the policy. That's not the only spectrum these kids and parents are on. This is jerk-ass Jim. I don't have kids. One parent told The Guardian that their 15-year-old daughter was very distressed because all her 14- and 15-year-old friends have been age-verified as 18 by Snapchat. Since she has been identified as under 16, they feared her friends will keep using Snapchat to talk and organize social events, and she will, of course, that longtime teenage fear of being left out. Another parent said the ban had forced him to teach his kid how to break the law. I've shown her how VPNs work and how other methods on bypassing age restrictions. I've had to set her up with her own adult YouTube account. That's going to go well. And have assisted her in bypassing TikTok's age estimation and will keep doing so each time it asks. Other parents said the ban couldn't come quickly enough. One parent said their daughter was completely addicted to social media, and the ban provides us with a support framework to let daddy government do stuff for us. The Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, said in an opinion piece on Sunday, "From the beginning, we acknowledge this process won't be 100% perfect, but the message this law sends will be 100% clear. Australia sets the legal drinking age at 18. Because our society recognizes the benefit to the individual and the community of such an approach. The fact that teenagers occasionally find a way to have a drink doesn't diminish the value of having a clear national standard. It is still 21 here in the States, and they recently raised ciggies to the age of 21, pretty much de facto across America." But yeah, they've had to use their voting power since they're just powerless to raise children themselves. But again, this is always for the other, those other bad parents. These aren't with me and my, I'm really good. What, are parents too dumb to save their kids from lawn darts, James? I made it. I survived. Gen X often jokes about the things we survived through in the 70s and 80s. But yeah, more laws to do what parents just couldn't possibly do for themselves. In related news, Ireland plants flag for child online safety as it prepares to assume EU presidency. Age assurance for porn, social media on the table, but big tech ties factor in. Basically, they're going to get their good deals out of it. And interesting stuff always going on with the criminals in the UK's Ofcom office. They would like to double down on file monitoring in 2026. You've heard the "there's no such thing as a cloud, there's only someone else's computer." James, earlier this year, we had the Nepal kids elect new government via Discord, and here we have all of those social medias being banned in Australia. What do you think?
There's a few things to say about this. First of all, not for the first time and not for the last time, we're going to note how the "won't somebody think of the children" is weaponized against everyone, because all this does, of course, is put everyone in the age verification net, which is the first step towards the digital identification. So that's an important part of this story. Another important part of this story would be to note the latest from futurism.com. Social media is absolutely nuking children's brain. New research finds, again, nothing that I think people in our audience won't already know, but more data along those lines, talking about how social media is affecting people's attention span. Surprise, surprise. But I think there's at least one good thing to come out of this story, one tiny bit of a silver lining that we can take out. And that is that part that you highlight there. The parent said that the ban had forced him to teach his child how to break the law. "I've shown her how VPNs work and other methods on bypassing age restrictions." Great. Wonderful. Welcome to the counter economy, fellow agorists. This is what it is about. It is about the nonviolent resistance and absolute defiance and breaking of immoral laws. And that's, we're all doing it 18 times a day or whatever, you know, however many felonies people commit a day without even realizing it because of all the stupid laws on the book. Here are more stupid laws that should not exist and people should learn how to break them. So Australians who can still hear our voice should be teaching others, being VPN apple seeds, you know, spreading the wonders of these workarounds to other people. So I think that that is good because, again, it's one more sign for people who need it. Yes, the government doesn't mean always a good thing and that you should just follow whatever they say. So hopefully that those children are learning a very important lesson right now. And the other thing I'd like to say about this is that sometimes there is that we have the tendency to fall into victim blaming in all of this. As in, oh, these stupid people with their stupid social media and they care about these things and they shouldn't. Yes, okay, certainly it is nuking your brain. You should be getting off of it, et cetera, et cetera. But it isn't always that straightforward. And I'd like to point people to an incredibly interesting, detailed, nuanced article by Gabriel of Libra Solutions. Teachable moment. Will the digital control grid inevitably fail? Or is it already here? And he points out not only the ways that the technological side of this has been constructed around us to essentially snarf up all of our data and put us in the digital control grid, but how the socioeconomic fabric of our entire society is woven around us in these technological structures that are all dependent on us jumping through these digital hurdles and hoops. And then we victim blame and go, oh, these stupid people who are jumping through these hoops that have been set up before them. Well, you know, it's an incredibly difficult process of extracting yourself from this. So it's a really good, interesting article. I really suggest people take a look at it.
So let me flip it around back at you. There is a Florida cell phone ban in schools that has been instituted, and it's now basically been in effect for about a year, and they're already showing that test scores have gone up. You might be running into something like this in the not too distant future. Will you have kids or devices in school? I mean, what do you think?
Oh, well, here, the kids are more increasingly encouraged to use devices because it's now part of your education. You have to have technological literacy, so they'll be given tablets and things for use in class. So, yeah, it is genuinely a question that I think everyone on the planet is going through at this time. And I think, again, I'm a functional, sovereign, adult human being who can make choices for my family. And the government does not need to be a part of that decision.
There's also the entire other concern of all our parents having these smartphones, too. James, that's how we get going on New World Next Week, episode 612. We often remind ourselves on the monarchy and just here at home having arguments, discussions. It's not all one thing. And I think that's what you were getting at right there. Whenever article recently, and covering a lot of this on my Morning Monarchy this week, James, as this story, this was kicking in Australia this week. Children under 5 addicted to brain rot content online. Again, a lot of frightening, scary things that are pretty much unprecedented. It's possible the planners of the Grand Chessboard have already planned all this out and knew what would happen, but the things we're seeing the last 20 years of what suddenly happens with when people have godlike power in their hands, playing God has a lot of dangers. So let's go to the movies. Cinema's on edge. Netflix's Warner Brothers deal sparks concern for theatrical industry. Grabbing this from ScreenRealm.com and everything we say, all our outrageous accusations are all sourced and cited down in the show notes. People still go to the cinema? Netflix owning Warner Brothers and HBO Max isn't just a streaming story, it's a cinema story. With Netflix positioned to acquire one of Hollywood's last major studios in an $82 billion deal, the future of theatrical releases is suddenly in question. People going out into a movie theater and sitting down and watching the film. Depending on who you ask, this is neither a new era of opportunity or the beginning of a very long one, a very worrying decline for movie theaters. One of the biggest questions after the announcement was simple. Will Netflix actually keep Warner Brothers films in cinemas? Ted Sarando says yes, at least in the short term. The Netflix co-CEO has insisted that the company has no opposition to movies in theaters, and the official announcement from Netflix says expects to maintain Warner Brothers' current operations and build on the strengths, including theatrical releases for films. On a conference call with investors and the press, Sarandos pointed to Netflix's existing theatrical footprint, noting that the company had released 30 films into movie theaters in 2025, but he was also clear about where Netflix's real focus lies. Again, they didn't call it DVD mail for nothing. It's not like we have this opposition to movies into theaters, Sarando said, as quoted by Variety. My pushback has mostly been in the fact of long exclusive windows, which we really don't think are consumer friendly, but when we talk about keeping HBO operating, largely as it is, that also includes their output movie deal with Warner Brothers, which includes a life cycle that starts in the movie theater, which we're going to continue to support. Cinema owners have not exactly been reassured. Because Netflix's stated business model does not support theatrical exhibition. In fact, it is the opposite. Regulators must look closely at the specifics of this proposed transaction and understand the negative impact it will have on consumers, exhibition, and the entertainment industry. The fear is straightforward. Warner Brothers is still one of the few studios still deeply committed to theatrical windows with a track record of delivering global event films. If that pipeline is shortened or eventually rerouted towards streaming-first strategy, cinemas feel the impact immediately. For years, Netflix has pushed back against the traditional 45 to 90-day exclusive theatrical window, arguing the long gaps between cinema and home release are not consumer-friendly. It's not how people consume media in 2025. The acquisition of a major theatrical studio turns that long-running philosophical debate into a very practical one. And James, I know you and I a little bit off-camera have discussed the work of Christopher Nolan. He is obviously a film buff and lover and supporter. And much like Martin Scorsese does a lot of work to fund the preservation of films so films don't literally explode or fall apart. He's actually the president of the DGA, the Directors Guild of America. Christopher Nolan plans to meet with Netflix to address major concerns regarding the streamer's acquisition of Warner Brothers again, as he always wants his movies in theaters, in film, right, James? He wants his stuff in at least 35mm film, and of course, as the IMAX theaters have blown up a lot more, you can go see a lot of his movies in 70mm. Netflix and Paramount lock horns in Warner Brothers' Discovery acquisition saga. Paramount has now launched a counter-hostile takeover. It's kind of exciting in the world of nerd media business. Netflix to acquire Warner Brothers following the separation of Discovery Global for a total enterprise value of $82. Paramount is offering over $100 billion, and they don't have to spin off any of their little ancillary parts. Of course, I've talked about this a lot on Media Monarchy. I don't call it Media Monarchy for nothing. There is already a consumer class action lawsuit against it. And James, it's important to remind that Mark Bernays Randolph was the co-founder and first CEO of Netflix, great-grandnephew of Edward Bernays, widely regarded as the father of propaganda, and great-grandnephew of Sigmund Freud, the founder of psychoanalysis, and the guy that apparently unleashed the cocaine destruction of America. James, sidebar, watched a documentary on cocaine recently. It's mostly Sigmund Freud's fault. This familial connection has led to speculation and discussion online about potential influences on Netflix's content and user engagement strategies, with some suggesting that the platform may leverage psychological principles derived from Bernays' work on public opinion manipulation. James, I just don't want Netflix owning DC Comics.
Amongst other things. Yeah. You know what? You took the words out of my mouth. I don't have a lot to add on this in terms of the conspiracy realist angle on this story, except I was going to say I am just flabbergasted that Paramount didn't immediately win the bid because, of course, we know it's Zionist supremacist David Ellison, obviously buddies through his father, Larry Ellison, with Trump himself. So you would have expected that Paramount would have just, you know, would have won easily, but not yet, at any rate. Interesting. Although, as you say, I mean, what's the other side of this? Oh, good. Oh, good. Netflix has won. Oh, wait, right. Bernays, all that stuff. No, it's not, you know, cutie flicks, as we have taken to calling it, right? This is not a win for anyone, really. But perhaps it's just a good time to take stock and to give ourselves another reminder that all of this Hollywood programming is psychological manipulation and warfare that has been waged on the public for at least a century at this point. And maybe it will cause a few more people to go, you know what, maybe we don't need the Hollywood studio system and we don't need to rely on they, them, those to give us our entertainment / indoctrination. And hey, you know what, we can make movies for ourselves these days relatively easily. Maybe more people should be doing it.
I have speculated, as a lot of this, again, is ongoing story these last few weeks, I speculated that, Trump might intervene in this going to Netflix in order to help out his Zionist Ellison buddies over at Paramount. And again, the broken clock, right, 2 times a day. I'm like, yay, do that. But again, we were talking about this at home the other day. It does get down to just kind of nitty-gritty, real nerdy consumer choice. So when Microsoft by Skype and decides to let it die and end, that's less consumer choice. So the fear is, on this standpoint, why would Netflix continue to do anything for Warner Brothers? Hey, Netflix already has their own Sandman DC Comics TV show. We'll just run that one. They've already removed... Disney does not want you to see Song of the South. That's why it's not on their streaming platform. There's example after example after example again why this might not be a good idea. Again, just for the whole consumer choice thing. Our third and final story, where we usually hide the media-related story, James. It's just stuff about World War III. New national security strategy. A stunning departure, yet full of contradictions. Grabbing this from the Ron Paul Institute. You know what I like? How Ron Paul's never lost the plot and never sold out and still does his thing and still does his show all the time. The final U.S. national security strategy was just published, and the refocus on the Western Hemisphere, i.e. the Americas, North and South, is confirmed. The document clearly establishes this as the U.S.'s number one priority, saying that the U.S. will now assert and enforce a Trump corollary to Monroe Doctrine. James, do you say corollary or corollary?
Only because I'm pretentious, I'll say corollary, but North Americans generally say corollary, yeah.
Corollary, okay. Trump corollary to the Monroe Doctrine. More on that in a moment. In terms of military presence, they write that this means a readjustment of our global military presence to address urgent threats in our hemisphere and away from theaters whose relative import to American national security has declined in recent decades or years. The most striking aspect is that China is not anymore defined as the primary threat, most consequential challenge, pacing threat, or similar formulations used in previous such documents. It's clearly downgraded as a priority. Based on the document's structure and emphasis, the top U.S. priorities could be characterized as, here's the top four, Homeland Security and Borders, Migration, Cartels, etc., Western Hemisphere, Monroe Doctrine Restoration, Economic security, reindustrialization and supply chains, and number four, China and Indo-Pacific. To be clear, they do not define China as an ally or a partner in any shape or form, but primarily as an economic competitor, a source of supply chain vulnerabilities, but also a trading partner, and a player whose regional dominance should be ideally denied because it has major implications for the U.S. economy. For the first time ever, they mentioned the possibility of maybe being overmatched militarily by China. And we do have the PDF link for you from WhiteHouse.gov, National Security Strategy of the United States of America, November 2025. And we will include the link to the Monroe Doctrine. I didn't grab the link. This goes back to President James Monroe, December 1823, during his 7th annual State of the Union address. It's basically talking about the new world and the old world and spheres of influence. James, I'll just leave that there. In other spheres of influence or lack thereof, world risks disintegration of the international order as noted boy toy Macron fails to woo Xi into pressuring Putin. James, grand chessboard.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's so much going on this chessboard, but it all makes perfect sense once you understand what is happening. We are seeing the breakdown of the post-World War II international order. That is what Macron is talking about. That's what all the globalists are lamenting, because, of course, the post-World War II order was all based on the American Empire hegemony and essentially the order that comes from that. And that is breaking down, and in a number of different ways. And this national security strategy about face that's happening right now is one example of that. And we're seeing it play out already. Obviously, all the drug boat strikes. And as we are recording this, the latest is that the U.S. has apparently seized an oil tanker off the coast of Venezuela. So things obviously heating up in South America. And this is that Trump corollary of the Monroe Doctrine in action, in play. And what this means, if this really is a U.S. retrenchment back to its own sphere of influence in the new world, then what does that mean for example, Japan and Taiwan and the whole spat that's happening with China right now? And Japan, apparently the new prime minister is getting a little bit upset with Trump because, hey, guys, shouldn't you be backing us up on this whole Trump Taiwan-China spat thing? And you're not doing enough to help us here, and you guys are on your own, and all of this craziness that would have been unthinkable even a few years ago is happening right now. And of course, we see what's going on in Ukraine and all of this. There's a lot of crises around the world right now that show that the international order is in crisis, and boy, are they going to try to rend a new order out of the chaos that is going on right now. But perhaps all of this whole story is in a way a corollary to reportage, or as I would say, a corollary to reportage, specifically my essay on escaping the grand chessboard. So if people haven't read Reportage yet, I hope they go to reportagebook.com to get the copy and read that essay, because I think what we're living through is a very, very, very grand change on the chessboard. But we have a part to play in this, at the very least, by withdrawing our participation in this game. The world is not a chessboard. It is not. We are not piece of pawns on a board to be moved around. And at the very least, we shouldn't be sending our sons and daughters off to die in wars of aggression for the oligarchs.
Now, we've talked in the past about those, I don't know how many, this is just one, those bases in Okinawa have been the source of massive protests, rightfully so, on a lot of disgusting kind of crime stories. So has that died down in some way? Is that more of like, hey, now we're glad we've got Johnny America in our backyard a little?
Well, no, I'm sure that most of the Okinawans probably still feel what they felt a few years ago, but they've never had a large degree of political influence in actually affecting what's going to happen on Okinawa. And now even less so, even less chance, because yes, I think a larger proportion of the Japanese public are now whipped up into at least China frenzy, if not outright hatred yet.
Mm-mm-mm. And my mother asked, is James okay? He's not where the earthquake hit, is he?
I am very, very, very far away and didn't feel a thing. So thank you to all the people who did write in. But yeah, I'm a-okay.
James, that is New World Next Week, episode 612, the penultimate for 2025. I play the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes before they're published on my website or James's website. I do that after my Thursday morning monarchy at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. And throw out a quick reminder from here on the U.S. home front. Don't forget about the post office box. I know we go through these issues sometimes of not wanting to do more online banking and create new accounts. We do have the post office box where you can send well-concealed cash, money order, or checks in USD. Again, I've run into, we can't yet do Canadian checks. Your endorsement is perpendicular. It blew my mind when I flipped over a Canadian check for the first time. Ours goes the right way up. Yours goes the normal sideways. So we do have the post office box. Again, that is a way that you can support the Media Monarchy Kingdom. You can support the James Corbett Kingdom. I am not your mule to send things over to Japan, but any support given will be divvied up and we'll send it to Corbett, you know, with all that digital stuff. Hey, speaking of digital stuff, we also run newworldnextweek.com. And James, you have always got the goods for the holidays.
Yes. Yes. And I hope people will take advantage of it. So if you go to newworldnextweek.com to support my work and or James's work, of course, you can get all the merch and swag and digital downloads and, of course, physical media as well, DVDs and USB archives, etc. And for up until December 25th, every single person on the planet can use the Christmas 25 discount code. Use that code at checkout, CHRISTMAS25, and you will get 25% off all of the Corbett Report media, as in the digital downloads, the USB archives, or the DVDs, but not the merch, not the swag, and not the brand spanking new 2018 USB archive. I hope people will check that out if they are following along at home as we're releasing the archives year by year here. We're up to 2018, and for people who are interested, that all that year contains the World War I conspiracy. So if you like that documentary and you want it in some sort of physical media format, well, here is a USB archive that has the World War I conspiracy, all three parts in audio and video form. That's just one part, because, of course, these USB archives contain every single piece of media I put on the website in 2018. So I hope people will check that out.
And every USB has a little video. Start here. It shows you how to open things up, what to use, what your different operating systems might want to do with different file types. I check the USBs, James, when they come in. So I was just double checking the start video myself recently. And someone in the chat just this past week, in my Media Monarchy chat, was like, oh man, they're already up to 2018. I got to catch up. And we would love for you to catch up, because that's what keeps us advertising free. Again, we're not saying, if you don't buy the USB, we'll be forced to have VPN ads. You know that's not going to happen. It just makes all of this possible and a lot easier with your support out there. I run MediaMonarchy.com/support. James, you've got CorbettReport.com/members. That is the way to help keep supporting our work. And you know what happens next week? We don't know what the other is going to talk about. We are 1 week away from the feared, anticipated New World next year, 2026. We talk about our stories of the past year, and we give our sort of predictions about what we think might be the trend of the next year. It is the only episode where we do not know what the other are going to talk about. We each bring our stories to the table. And James, you said you did the double check and you're going first this year.
That seems to be the order. And I think I have my story of the year, and I think I have a trend for next year, but I am going to, you know, hold off in case the aliens land on the front of the White House lawn, you know, next week or something.
Full disclosure. That is New World Next Week, episode 612. James, I so much appreciate getting to work with you, buddy. Thank you.
I appreciate it very much. But just one more thing. For the people who want to do the P.O. Box money order check thing, who should they make that out to?
Media Monarchy.
Just make the money order or check out to Media Monarchy and include a note saying how you want to divvy it up. So much to James, so much to Pilato, whatever it is. So anyway, just to clear that confusion.
And that is the way we write the P.O. Box address down in the show notes for these New World Next Week episodes. So that is, again, what you can just make the checks right out to Media Monarchy. You know, like George Bush said, just send your cash.
All right. On that note, see you next week, buddy.
Thanks, man. Take care.